We now have Dr. Anthony Fauci on the line, and I will turn our attention to him. Dr. Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and advisor to seven presidents, including President Joe Biden, we know you're very busy. Thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Fauci, all year, for a year now, we've been regularly having to ask the question, how bad is it? Where are we right now in America, here in New England, when it comes to this pandemic?
Well, I think the numbers speak for themselves. We have now 420,000 deaths in this country. Looks like we are plateauing a bit with that very acute inflection surge that we've seen over the last couple of months, emanating from the point where we entered into the really cold season. And we had, you know, Halloween, we had Thanksgiving, and then we had the Christmas and New Year's holiday, and we had a very steep slope. Thankfully, it is now beginning to plateau, and the cases are starting to come down a bit, but they're still in a zone that's very troublesome. I mean, where you're having a couple of 100,000 or between 1 and 200,000 new cases a day, which will always lead to hospitalizations and deaths. So in that respect, that's some reasonably good news. But the thing that counters it, that is more sobering, is that we now have to deal with mutants, you know, some of which are already in the country. You know, the UK has a mutant that looks like it transmits more efficiently, therefore more people would get infected. And recently they've come out saying that it is even a bit more deadly in the sense of a greater degree of virulence, which means it can harm you, make you sicker, or even kill you. We have 22 states in the United States that already have this mutant, and it likely will become dominant in some respects over the next couple of months. So on the one hand,
when you say dominant, Dr. Fauci, excuse me for interrupting you, but when you say likely become dominant, do you mean that it is the form of the coronavirus that will be most prevalent, the highest rate of infection?
Right. Yeah, that's the terminology that you use in virology. When you say the dominant strain, you mean it's the one that percentage-wise is causing most of the infection. So, for example, the South African strain that is now a really very, very, very serious problem in South Africa, it is the dominant strain there, which means almost everyone who's getting infected with SARS-CoV-2 in South Africa is getting infected with their mutant strain.
So, Dr. Fauci, as I'm listening to you, I can hear, I can feel our listeners' collective heart rate rising because those are some scary things that you're laying out there. I think I want to ask you a couple of questions and follow up from that.
But let me unscare them a bit. I mean, I don't want them to be complacent, but remember the vaccines that we have work against the wild type virus and also against the mutants. Even though the mutants diminish somewhat the overall efficacy of the vaccine against the South African strain, there's still enough cushion in that overall the vaccines that are now being distributed in the United States, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, work against the mutants as well as against the wild type. So the message is, this is all the more reason when vaccine becomes available to you to get vaccinated, because the best way to protect against the evolution of viruses into mutants is to prevent them from replicating. And the way you do that is you diminish the rate of infection in a given country. And that's the reason why the best news is if vaccine becomes available to you, get vaccinated.
So, Dr. Fauci, when listeners hear news like today that Moderna is going to explore a booster shot because the efficacy of the vaccine against the South Africa strain is lower, you still want people to understand it may be lower. We may be having to investigate this, but those vaccines are still acceptably effective, correct?
Absolutely correct. And that's what people need to understand. So if you know, we talk about a cushion effect. So if you need a certain titer of a antibody to protect you against a virus, and you diminish that somewhat, and you are still well above the critical level that you need, even if you diminish it somewhat, you're still well within the safe zone. And that's what we mean by saying, even though we're following very carefully the evolution of these mutants, we are still, from the vaccines that we have, in a zone that would still protect us. So the sooner we get people vaccinated, the better off we are.
So Dr. Fauci, to that point, to the question of vaccinations, I want to play a little sound for you right now. This is Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, our governor, earlier today when he was announcing some 103 vaccine rollout sites that'll come online by the middle of next month. But he said to expect some open appointments if we don't get more shipments from the federal government. Here he is.
We are overbuilding here with respect to what we anticipate we're going to get from the feds by the time we get to the middle of February. And I certainly hope I'm wrong about that. And I hope that the feds give us the vaccine that we'll need to actually make sure that every single seat and every single appointment can get filled. But we can only move as fast as the federal government ships vaccines to the Commonwealth.
So then, Dr. Fauci, we had a letter from a top state health official saying the supply here in the Commonwealth will probably be limited through the middle of next month. You made some comments over the weekend referring to supply as, quote, the most limiting constraint early on, end quote. Do we have a real vaccine supply problem in the United States? And if so, what does that mean and what do we do?
Well, for localities like Boston and a state like Massachusetts, which has done a really good job in being able to put up a structure to be able to vaccinate. Indeed, the supply will not meet the demand because you have the capability, but that's not uniform throughout the country. And I think that's the reason why you see the discrepancy where in some places you have what your governor just said about needing to get more vaccine because they have slots there to fill and to get people vaccinated. And there are other areas of the country where you have vaccine lying around and they don't have the capability of getting it into people's arms. We've got to correct that. And in fact, if you listen carefully to what President Biden has said on multiple occasions, is that we're going to do everything we possibly can to increase the availability of vaccines, to use the Defense Production Act to get the kinds of supplies that are important for the development of vaccines, for the administration of vaccines, to make it as efficient as one possibly can. He's paying attention to that literally on a moment-by-moment basis. I can tell you that as a fact because we've had multiple conversations with him about that. So where there are problems, we have to fix them. That's the point.
Dr. Fauci, is there a point at which you expect us to reach some kind of equilibrium where, you know, what state by state capacity is and what the government is able to deliver hits a balance? And how far out would that be?
You know, it's out a month or two or three. I mean, as you get into February and then February to March and then March to April, there'll be more and more. And I believe as the most, I would say, if you look at the restrictions we had very early on, they were rather profound. They got less and less. When you have capabilities like Boston and the state of Massachusetts has of being able to put the vaccines into people's arms, the discrepancy between supply and demand looks more acute and profound, where in other areas it doesn't. All that having been said is that as we get into February, March, April, and May, it will ease up. I can tell you that because there will be much more availability of vaccines than we have right now.
So, Dr. Fauci, I know you've talked about President Biden's statements, and he has said that he wants to get us as a country to 100 million vaccinations in 100 days. So two questions for you. The first is, how essential is his $1.9 trillion stimulus package to making sure that happens? Because we do understand it's not clear that that package can pass in Congress.
Well, I really hope it does, because it is a package that is critical to getting us out of where we are right now and getting us back on track of getting this thing under control. A $1.9 trillion package is a package that is critical. You know, something like 415 billion of that is directly involved in addressing COVID. So we need the money. I would hope that the Congress comes through with it.
So, Dr. Fauci, there's a lot more I'd like to ask you there, but we have limited time with you. I do want to touch on a couple of other things. I want to touch on the gap between the percentage of Americans who say they're prepared to be vaccinated and the percentage of Americans we need to be vaccinated to reach herd immunity, based on the polls that you pay attention to and the percentage of the population you believe we need for herd immunity. How big is that gap and how do we close it?
Well, let's take a look at what the estimate is. You know, we don't know exactly what we need, but we can make some extrapolations from measles and what's required for herd immunity for measles, which is, you know, somewhere around 90%. Once you get into the 80s, you lose somewhat of the herd immunity protection. That's based on the degree of transmissibility of measles as well as the efficacy of the vaccine. If you use those parameters to make an estimate for what you would need for SARS-CoV-2 herd immunity, I would say, even though we have to be modest enough and humble enough to know that we don't have the exact answer, I believe it's somewhere between 70 and 85%. So when you have, you know, 20, 30, 40% of a population somewhat hesitant to get vaccinated, if they don't get vaccinated, that's going to be that much more difficult. It doesn't mean you're not going to get a reasonably good effect of vaccinating people, but it means you're not going to be able to essentially shut down the virus the way herd immunity would allow you to do. So the solution to that is to do some serious community outreach to get to the people, particularly among minority populations, understanding and respecting the reasons for their hesitancy, but try to convince them by utilizing people that they trust, people in the community that look like them, that understand them, to go out and to talk about the necessity of getting vaccinated, not only for your own protection, but for the protection of your family and actually the protection of your entire community.
You know, you did a Zoom meeting with Reverend Liz Walker and the 12th Baptist Church community here in the greater Boston area right around Thanksgiving last year, addressing historic mistrust of the healthcare system and communities of color. You agreed to appear here on Radio Boston. It sounds like you are taking this outreach to convince people to get vaccinated very personally.
I am. And the reason I am is because, you know, I'm a physician as well as a scientist and a public health official, and I see firsthand the extraordinary and painful disparities in health. It would be really tragic in my mind that the brown and black people who suffer disproportionately from the disease for reasons that are understandable, but nonetheless are not justifiable now, for them not to afford themselves the protection of a highly efficacious and safe vaccine. It would be, you know, doubly painful and tragic for them. A, they disproportionately suffer from something, and yet they have a tool that can protect them. And if they don't utilize that tool, you know, that makes me very sad. And that's the reason why I spend a considerable amount of personal time. I mean, every day, a day does not go by where I don't spend a considerable time measured in hours in trying to get the minority communities to get vaccinated, be it on a radio show here with you, with some of the black churches, with the congressional black and Hispanic caucuses, whatever I can do to get the message out, I would do.
And in our last minute or so, I know your time is limited. You oversee everything, the whole country, and I know each region is different. You mentioned that. What is imperative in Massachusetts right now? What do you want listeners here in New England to know or do after having had a chance to hear you today?
Well, I mean, it's an advantage because you're dealing with a city and a state that has really done a very good job with a governor who understands the situation. You know, during the Trump administration, when we used to have meetings with the governor, I had with the governors, entirety of the governor population, I've had back and forth in discussions with your governor multiple times. And he understands the situation. He understands it both from a public health standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, as well as from the need a vaccination. So the message is abide by the public health measures. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. We all know that there is a degree of understandable fatigue. We refer to it as COVID-19 fatigue. It's there, but things will get better as we get more and more people vaccinated. You know, my message to the people of Massachusetts, particularly of Boston, is hang in there because it will improve. But it will improve because we adhere to public health measures and because we get vaccinated. And I have a very special interest. I went to school in Massachusetts. My daughter lives in Massachusetts. So go ahead, Massachusetts, and do it right.
All right. That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and advisor to 7 presidents. Dr. Fauci, thanks for joining us today on Radio Boston.
Pleasure. Good to be with you.